it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe McGee. We're going through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in chronological order as it happened. It is an amazing story. I've met a few people, not many, I probably count on one hand, who have read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation at least one time. I met two guys that claim they've done it several times. It is the most amazing thing. If you'll just take 1 year, get you through the Bible. New Living Translation, they've got a great one, paperback, and probably in any Christian bookstore in America. Through the Bible in 1 year. And so people always ask, what translation do you read? Well, I read the New Living Translation. I study the King James, but I read the New Living Translation. And it is an incredible, incredible story. So get you one. And if you miss a day, don't go back and pick it up. Pick it up next year. That's why it's a one-year Bible. So some people, they get upset and say, well, I've not read my Bible in a week. But don't worry about it. You'll still go to heaven. Just pick it up where you are. Don't go back and try to catch up. So that's what's great about the Through the Bible. Now, what we're doing today, we're picking up, we're about to go to the mass Exodus. Something great's getting ready to happen. It's going to be a great trip. So we're picking up in Exodus chapter 1. We're staying right in order of how these things happen. We left off in Genesis 50. Joseph had died and all the promises he made. It was incredible. So chapter 1 of Exodus, great story. These are the names of the son of Israel, that is Jacob, who moved to Egypt with their father, each with his family, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. In all, Jacob had 70 descendants in Egypt, including Joseph, who was already there. In his time, Joseph and all of his brothers died, ending that entire generation. But their descendants, the Israelites, had many more children and grandchildren. And matter of fact, they multiplied so greatly that they became extremely powerful and they filled the land. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. He said to his people, look, the people of Israel, how they've outnumbered us and they're stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies to fight against us. And they will escape from the country. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build cities. And one of the cities that the big movie made out of, you know, about Egypt, of Ramses, as supply centers for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied, the more they spread, the more they alarmed the Egyptians became. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forced them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless with their demands. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives. When you help Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill it. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders, and they allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They're more vigorous. They have their babies so quickly, we cannot get there in time. So good. So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And I'm reading right from the Bible, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God and gave the families their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all of his people. Throw every newborn Hebrew boy in the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. Chapter 2 of Exodus. About this time, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she made a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket, laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River, and the baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon, Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river. and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. When the princess opened it, she saw it was a baby. The little boy was crying. She felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby sister approached the princess. "Should I go find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go do that," the princess said. So the girl went and called for the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the mother, baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, the boy was older. The mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as his own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." Many years later, Moses had grown up. He went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure nobody was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian, hid the body in the sand. The next day, when Moses went out to visit his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. "Why are you beating up your friend?" Moses said to one who had started the fight. The man replied, "Who appointed you our prince and judge? Are you going to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" Then Moses was afraid, thinking, "Everybody knows what I did. For sure, Pharaoh heard what happened. He would try to kill Moses." But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. When Moses arrived in Midian, he sat down beside a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters who came as usual to draw water and fill the water troughs for their father's flocks. Some of the other shepherds came and chased them away. So Moses jumped up and rescued the girls from the shepherds. He drew water for their flocks. When the girls returned to rule their father, he asked, "Why are you back so soon?" "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds," they answered. "He drew water up for us and for our flocks." "Well, where is he at?" the father asked. "Did you leave him there? Invite him to come eat with us." So Moses accepted the invitation and settled there with them. In time, Reuel gave Moses his daughter, Zipporah, to be his wife. Later, she gave birth to a son. Moses named him Gershom, for he said, "I have been a foreigner in a foreign land." Years passed. The king of Egypt died. The Israelites continued to groan under the burden of slavery. They cried for help. The cry rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down on the people of Israel, and he knew it's time to act. So one day, Moses was tending his flock, his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock far into the wilderness and came up to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why is the bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called him from the middle of the bush. "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord told him, "I certainly have seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because they're harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt to their own fertile and spacious land. It is land flowing with milk and honey, a land where the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites now live. Look, the land of the people of Israel, they've reached out to me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt." But Moses protested, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you. And this is a sign that I'm the one who has sent you. When you have been brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this very mountain." But Moses still protested. "Well, you know, God, if the people of Israel tell them the God of your ancestors sent me, they'll ask, well, what's his name? What should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people, I am has sent me to you." Then also, God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to be remembered for all generations. Then go and call together all the elders of Israel and tell them, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to me and told me. I've been watching close and I see how the Egyptians are treating you. I promised to rescue you from the oppression in Egypt. I will lead you to land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. The elders of Israel will accept your message. And then you and the elders must go to the king of Egypt and tell him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So please let us take a three-day journey to the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Well, that's where we're going to leave it for today, because it's about to get a very interesting story. Now, they made two great movies. I saw the original one with Charlton Heston years ago. And I saw the new one. Really did a fairly good job, pretty much accurate. And so what you realize, God's going to get a people for himself. God always wanted a people for him. He wanted to bless the people so much that the world would ask them about the hope that's in them. And these people would say, it's God. It's not us. It's not our IQ. It's not our GPA. It's God. God loves us. He provides for us. He nurtures us. He protects us. It's all God. And that's all he ever wanted. God wanted people who would revere him, honor him, and love him. Not for what he did, it's because of who he is. And so it's a great story. And that's what really the Bible's about God looking for a people that would call him his own. So we talked about the two oldest books of the Bible, Genesis, and we're talking about the book of Job. Two great stories about the story about God. What's he doing? God is looking for a people that'll love him, that'll worship him just for him. So we're going to pick this up next time. It's going to be an incredible run. Don't miss it. We'll pick it up next time. God bless you guys. Thank you for being with us today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.